Are you a theater maker, theater artist, or theater lover who wants to make the theater industry better for all of us? You're in the right place. Hey there, I'm Kira Troilo, a theater artist, creative professional, and mom who quit her job and devoted her career to equity, diversity, and inclusion for the arts. Through decades of work in theater spaces, I couldn't help but recognize a gaping hole in our industry, the shocking lack of care and support available for creatives. Since 2020, I've become obsessed with creating actual human resources for the humans who create theater in community. Enter the Inclusive Stages podcast, a shame-free zone where we put my framework for inclusive theater spaces to practice. Here, we'll build bridges through curiosity and conversation, and we'll never shy away from real talk. Join me as I break down relevant, hot-button topics of our day and chat with fascinating industry professionals about their experiences in the theater world. Plus, I'll even show you how I help actors navigate identity differences to tell brave and compelling stories, all while maintaining psychological safety. Ready to start building care-forward creative spaces where humans and art can both thrive? It all happens one stage at a time. Places, everyone. This is the Inclusive Stages podcast. Hello, theater friends. Welcome to Inclusive Stages, the podcast for theater makers, theater artists, and theater lovers. I'm so grateful that you're here. Today, it's just me, my first time being solo, so bear with me. I'm a little nervous, but I'm really excited because in the first episode, which if you haven't listened, please go back, I chatted with my best friend Rachel about how I got to where I am and who I am. And at the end of that, I started to share a bit about what Inclusive Stages is, where it came from, why I'm doing this work I'm doing here, and what is the work I'm doing. So I wanted to really dive deep into that. I want to really explain to you what Inclusive Stages is, because it's not just the title of this podcast. It's also a brand new brand. It is a framework. It is a movement. It is my answer to what we've been needing in performance and rehearsal spaces forever that we haven't had. I have been doing the work of equity, diversity, and inclusion in theater for quite a while now. I have my own business that I started in 2022 that's called Art and Soul Consulting. And through that company, I, you know, work with organizations. I do coaching work. I do EDI audit work. I do workshops where I work with volunteers and boards and staff and, you know, all sorts of arts folks, administrators, you know, artists. But the work that I started doing was that inside of rehearsal rooms and shows. As I started doing that work, I started to kind of create a framework for what was the work I was going in to do. And it really started out as there is no support here. There's no human being in charge of well-being or culture or conflict or how are we going to bring these diverse groups of people together to tell these diverse stories? It was a kind of a culmination of, you know, there's no HR, there's no support, but there's also no equity, diversity, and inclusion work happening inside of these rooms. There's a lot of that work happening at the organizational level where we're seeing, you know, we're seeing companies with anti-racism action plans, and we're seeing a focus on hiring more people of color and being more inclusive with access and all of these things. But inside the room where we create the art, there is no person dedicated to the work of bringing that room together. So that's kind of what I've been doing the past few years, just going in and, you know, filling that gap that I saw. Like, what does everyone need? You know, it started with, we don't have guidelines to hold a room together. So when we all gather as artists, we just, you know, we're going to start a play. We just assume we all have the same set of rules in our heads about how it's going to work. We all assume a lot of things about each other, a lot of knowledge that we assume. So first things first, you know, I started going into rooms and saying, let's have a half-hour conversation about what this room is. What's the show we're doing? Who are the people who are gathered here? What are our values? What's our mission? Apart from doing the show, how do we want to feel in the room? What do we want to do when conflict arises? You know, just having that initial conversation is so important. So that's just one example of something that became clear to me as I started doing this work is, you know, there needs to be someone there to take charge and hold the culture of the room as importantly as the art that we're creating in the room. So what is inclusive stages? In short, it's the long overdue answer to a question that we've danced around for decades, and I've already pointed to it. Why isn't there a job dedicated to the support and care of humans in creative work? So I created Inclusive Stages as a framework for the actual equity, diversity, and inclusion work that needs to happen inside the rehearsal and performance spaces. It's also a roadmap for prioritizing humans while creating art in community. But most of all, it's, I hope, a movement geared toward a crucial shift in how we operate in the theater and entertainment industry. We, as an industry, are thought of as being progressive and creative and, you know, all the forward-thinking things. And yes, we are. But the bones of the industry, you know, what happens on a day-to-day basis, every person who's involved in the theater and performance world knows that we're really far behind in a lot of areas, particularly the care of humans area. And we've tried, you know, there've been a lot of efforts over decades. You know, the most recent I can think of is the movement toward intimacy directors and coordinators and consultants, which has been amazing. It's like, okay, in the past, we would just say, let's do this sex scene and then have no support, have no one there to talk about boundaries or consent or what's okay or what's too far. Now we have that. That's becoming more standard. So we have, you know, this new position that's helping folks navigate intimate moments on stage and on screen. But in terms of just the greater care and well-being and culture of these environments, especially making efforts to gather more diverse groups, we're not actually investing in the care of the humans and what do humans need when they come together. And humans who are very different come together to tell different stories. So in short, the work of Inclusive Stages is to keep the arts thriving while breaking down these inequitable systems and caring for creatives one stage at a time. So I mentioned that I realized very quickly in doing this work that I couldn't do it alone. My big goal was to see the care of humans being prioritized in every creative space. You know, I wanted to start with theater because that's my world. That's where I am and where I have the most information and experience, you know. But I wanted to see this work standardized. And I thought, well, if I want to see it standardized, then I have to create a roadmap for the work and I have to teach other people how to do it. Really, I have two big jobs. I have to teach why it's important, which I do when I go to any space. I think most of the times I hear, why hasn't this existed before? Why haven't we had a position that's meant to care for humans and creative spaces? And I have to also educate the folks who don't understand that they're equipped to do this job. I didn't know that I was equipped to do this job until I started doing it and realized, oh, yeah, of course, I need a basis in equity, diversity, inclusion, but I also need to know just how people work and how to make change. This combined with, you know, thinking about how divisive diversity, equity, and inclusion work, DEI, EDI, DEIB, whatever you want to call it, it's become in the world just kind of divisive for all the wrong reasons. And I'll talk more on that in another episode. That's a whole other can of worms. But it led me to think about what is the role of this person that I want to create inclusive stages for? Who is going to hold this work in a room? And I've been doing the work as an EDI consultant, as an equity, diversity, and inclusion consultant. But to me, the main part of that that was important that is getting missed, it's kind of getting overshadowed by the diversity aspect, is inclusion. And let me talk a little bit more about that. I think a lot of times when people see diversity, equity, inclusion work, they just see diversity. And yes, obviously, diversity is crucial. We need to start seeing more representation of underrepresented identities and marginalized communities on stages and on screen. And we've gotten that memo. I mean, there's colorful cast everywhere. Obviously there's more work to do. However, that is the diversity work. People confuse that with the equity and the inclusion part. And really, the inclusion part, to me, is creating systems behind the scene that support the diversity that we have in the space or the diversity we want to welcome in the space. So to me, it's equity, systems that we're creating, plus diversity, people who are different for all different kinds of reasons, that equals inclusion. So diversity is part of the journey and inclusion is the goal. Okay. And when we talk about inclusion, we talk about every person, no matter where they come from or who they are, feeling like they belong in that environment and feeling like they have what they need in order to thrive at work. I don't understand how inclusion can be divisive. I think it's just a no-brainer. So for me, because inclusion is a combination of equity working for diversity, then really inclusion is the takeaway. So instead of people thinking, oh, we need an EDI consultant or we need a DEI consultant because we're doing The Color Purple or because we're doing In the Heights or because we're doing a show with people of color at the center or a marginalized group at the center and maybe the organization is predominantly white, they think, oh, we need a consultant because they're thinking of people of color as diversity. Do you see what I mean? The diversity is the piece that stands out, and that's when they think we need a person there as an expert. And yes, maybe that's true, probably is true. And even if you're doing a production of, I'm just saying things off the top of my head now, but Guys and Dolls or The Prom or any show, right? There are specific things inherent to that story that need to be analyzed. And then what kind of cast do you have? Who are you gathering together? How can we make sure that we take into account the context of the people in the room, the story we're telling, the events of the time? We have to take that all into account in order to make sure everyone understands exactly what they're doing there. Everyone feels that they have the tools that they need. No one feels like they're stepping on toes or like, I'm just a diversity hire or any of that. We all just get crystal clear on what are we all doing there? What's the story we're telling and why is it important? That's inclusion work. And that work of culture, of well-being, of care, of, hey, there's a problem and there's someone here who can mediate that conflict. Or, hey, there's this really hard conversation we should have, but we don't have anyone who's in charge of that. Holding people accountable to what they said they would do in an environment, that needs to be in every room. So I am going with the term inclusion consultants on shows from now on. I really think the work needs to be done. So I am a fan of calling it whatever you want to call it, as long as you're doing the work. But for me, the separation that makes sense to me is to have that EDI work at the organizational level, that real work of how are we creating systems within the organization to support the diversity that we want to see, right? So that real systems work at the organizational level. But then on shows, I see it as an inclusion consultant, a human being who should be in every room to make sure that there is care of humans being prioritized as well as the art that we're creating that we love. So that's why I've gone with the inclusion consultant over EDI consultant. So I really think that this work is the bare minimum. I feel so many people who roll their eyes at the word care, and it makes me really sad because even in corporate environments, there's HR, right? In any office job, if you have a problem, there's someone to go to who hopefully is trained to handle a problem. In theater, we just kind of like go with it. You know, we make like stage managers and directors can end up being therapists and, you know, management of theaters end up mediating conflict and not having any knowledge or training that can help them do that. So it's just a huge oversight in my mind. We need inclusion to be centered in all of these spaces, even though it's freelance people going in and out. So that's why I'm leaning toward the inclusion consultant. Another question, what can we expect from Inclusive Stages and who is it for? So I just want to explain in short what it is. There are three prongs to this Inclusive Stages movement. The first, you already know about because you're here, and thank you so much for being here. This is the free one. This is the one for everyone. It's the podcast where we're going to engage in these in-depth, vulnerable conversations with directors, designers, artists, actors, scholars, students, lovers of theater, everyone. And we're going to talk about our industry. We're going to talk about what's going on right now. I have the privilege of talking to some folks who I worked on shows with and, you know, mediated or facilitated conversation with, and you'll get to hear how I do the work in real time. I'm really hoping that this podcast can serve as a way into this work, a bright light, I hope, to shine light on how do we do this work. I know so many theaters who are desperate to do this work, but they just don't know where to start or how to go beyond the statement or how to go beyond casting, you know, a racially diverse cast. So I'm hoping that this podcast can start to help shining light on the small and big steps we can all be doing from community theater to regional theater to Broadway. And we'll hear from folks on this podcast from all over the map, even educational theater. I think there's so much that's different about the different levels of theater, but there's so much that's the same, as I think you'll hear. And I hope that's encouraging because we all have a lot of work to do, but we all have a lot to learn from each other. So I hope that this podcast is a place where we can, all of us, me included, learn more, grow more, and just add to our toolbox of what we can use in performance spaces and rehearsal spaces to make sure we're intentionally creating a culture that people want to be a part of and can thrive in. The second prong of this program is, I'm so excited, it's a 12-week cohort certification program. I'm finally going to teach people how to do the work I do. And this takes a huge amount of trust on my part, just to trust that it's ready to go. I've been working on this curriculum, which is a 6-point stages curriculum. Stages is actually an acronym. I'll talk about that more, I'm sure, in the future. But it is a course where, you know, I'm hopefully going to gather 20 to 25 people with each cohort. This will be the first one starting in May. The goal is to gain the crucial skills, these skills I'm talking about, like conflict mediation and feedback resilience. And how can we work together in community across difference? All those kinds of skills that no one in rooms has unless they have a degree from something else, you know, that wasn't intended for theater. So I'll welcome folks to get certified in the Inclusive Stages framework. And that will be my goal there with the cohort program, is that we have inclusion consultants who have been thoroughly trained. It's not just like a weekend online certification where you check boxes and go. This is a real investment, a 12-week, I'm going to teach you everything I know in order to go in and make a big difference in all of these rooms. Again, like in theater, but also there's TV, film, commercial work. There's no one who has these skills. So I would like to just have this program grow. My goal is to run the cohort at least twice a year. This will be the first one coming up in May. So if you want to learn more, you can head on over to inclusivestages.com. The third prong of Inclusive Stages is not ready yet, but it's coming. It is going to be a subscription-based membership service that's geared toward leaders in theater and entertainment. This is a service that's going to provide invaluable resources, tools, and community for creative leaders who are looking to implement these care-forward creative spaces that support everyone involved. This is a huge undertaking. I'm so excited about it, but it's going to be a bit, so stay patient with me. And, you know, you can sign up for our newsletter at inclusivestages.com to just make sure you stay up to date with our updates. But my hope is that anyone, even theaters who can't afford a consultant, you know, can't afford to invest in equity, diversity, and inclusion work in a very meaningful way right now, will at least have some tools and guides and videos and workshops and a community and office hours to bring your hard questions to a consultant. So that's coming, and I'm really excited for that. That's the third prong. And, you know, with the podcast, with the certification program, and with this membership portal, I am really hoping to just spread the message of, hey, we need to put care first in these creative spaces. And there's so many reasons why that I will talk about and that you'll hear about. But to me, this is a movement. This is a movement that's long overdue. And I hope you're with me. If you are with me, there's a ton of ways you can get involved. You're here, so thank you again for being here. You can support the podcast by heading over to Patreon. You can go and check out the links in the show notes if you're really feeling like these conversations are important and you want them to continue. Please, you know, consider maybe just $5 a month on Patreon. This podcast is not a revenue generating activity for me. I would love to just support the making of it because a lot goes into making it, of course. So you can do that. You can also go to inclusivestages.com and you can support or sponsor a new consultant. So if you want to help someone to start a career in this, you know, there's a lot of folks out there. I know students who are really interested in this work and really want to make a difference. So you can make a difference by supporting them in investing in this 12-week cohort program. So you can learn more about the different sponsorship levels over there. But you can make a really big difference just by helping folks get through this program. You could, you know, single-handedly be putting more inclusion consultants in rooms and then making that direct impact on lives right away. So most importantly, on the Inclusive Stages website, you can also just subscribe and stay up to date. There's going to be a lot coming out, a lot of information and new resources. And of course, I want you to continue to join our conversations here by subscribing to Inclusive Stages, the podcast, and downloading and sharing. And it just also means the world to me if you love the idea of this, if you're excited for more. And I hope you are because I really am. Then you can rate and review the podcast. That helps get this in front of more theater people and more entertainment industry people like you. If you love what I'm doing, please, I'd love for you to consider a 5-star rating. And again, any words that you'd like to share, I would be so grateful to have you share those. So that's what I've got. Are you ready to join me in one way or another? I hope so. I hope you're fired up. We're going to make a change in the industry, one stage at a time. And like I said, you can head on over to inclusivestages.com to learn more. You can follow us on Instagram at Inclusive Stages. We're on Facebook. I think that's all the things. So thank you so much for joining me for this first solo ride. We made it. I did it. I hope you'll come back for more. You will not want to miss next episode. I talked to the incomparable Corbin Blue. You are not going to want to miss that episode. So make sure you're following the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And I will see you next time. I hope you have a wonderful day and stay safe out there. Thank you so much for listening to the Inclusive Stages podcast. If you love the show, please be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. We have so many exciting guests and important topics coming up, you won't want to miss a single episode. This podcast is completely listener supported. If you would like to become a patron of the show, please check out the link in the show notes to join us over at Patreon. Patrons have access to exclusive bonus content and also the opportunity to ask questions that could be answered live on future shows. Also, be sure to follow along with us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Inclusive Stages. And don't forget to head over to inclusivestages.com to sign up for our email newsletter to stay up to date with exciting upcoming offers, like our first cohort certification program. Lastly, and most importantly, if you love Inclusive Stages, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could take 30 seconds to review our show and give us a 5-star rating. That really helps those silly algorithms get our show in front of more theater lovers like you. As always, thank you to our producer, Leah Bryant, and our music composer, Zachary McConnell. See you next time.